Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliate and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Listen, you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, to 109th to figure out, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't letting nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Right here.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidad, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. 5-0, no, I ain't got nothing against them as far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swat me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. Well, I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting near. And the motherfuckers know it.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa. And what we like to do is just basically give you helpful tips regarding U.S. entry waivers, border crossing cases, et cetera, et cetera. But I think I'm going to mix it up a bit in the near future and have things on here like different, like, you know, like recording artists, et cetera, things like that. Different, like, Vancouver, like, musical talent that's, you know, up and coming, help them out a bit. Because I'm all about positivity, you know, helping people out who help me or... Even if they don't help me out, you know, yada, yada. Prime example is on Christmas, I gave a homeless person $20, and he's at the train station, and then the administrator said, she says to me, she says, why are you giving him $20? I said, well, that's because every time I see him throughout the year, I only give him, you know, two or three. So, you know, it's Christmas, so I only give him 20. Just, because I'm just a naturally giving person, you know, that's, I guess that's that that Cuban-Dominican blood in me, whatever. But that's for another story. So I have to kind of watch it, though, because I get too giving. And then some people may think they can take advantage, but they are solely incorrect. Today seems a bit different. I could not really reach anyone. My Surrey manager, I think he's under the weather. I had a guest that was supposed to come on, and we were going to discuss her case, basically, you know, more so what she paid, but I cannot seem to reach her either. So it seems like today is just a write-off for many things, but even this weekend for that matter. But let me just dive in here. I normally do like a little intro, and you know what? I don't care if it's a write-off day or not. It's my show. I'm still doing my little intro. So without further ado, all the first. That's enough for Father Putin, though. So anyway, so today, the topic of today's show, it says, how much does a U.S. entry waiver cost? You know, this show is very, very, well, this topic is very political for a number of reasons. I don't know where to start in that sense, but I'm just going to dive right into the meat of everything. The bottom line is, with a U.S. entry waiver, you are paying for the cost of being able to enter a foreign country where you have been deemed inadmissible. Now let that sink in for a moment. You yourself are paying for the privilege of entering a country where they have said that you are inadmissible. What does that mean? Well, that means you have no actual quote-unquote legal right to enter because of your inadmissibility. But even if you were admissible, you still actually have no legal rights. So either way, unless you're a citizen of that country or permanent resident or PR, you actually have no legal right to enter that country per se. Now, fast forward it, if you have a conviction for, let's say, stealing a car at 20 and now you're 60, you are deemed inadmissible to the USA. And obviously people who listen to this, you know that. We're kind of unique in this business in the sense that we probably charge, I would say, if not the highest, close to the highest fees in this industry. And then some people say, especially in that online chat room, they say, well, Ken, you know, you're charging, let's just say $2,000 for a case. And so-and-so is charging Batman's Pardons and Waivers. And Toronto is charging $4.99 for a case. Why should I pay you $2,000 where I can pay Batman $4.99? I say, you know what? That's a good question. That's a very good question. And what it boils down to is, what is the privilege of you entering a foreign country worth to you? If you're Willie, the warehouse worker in Winnipeg, and you have an offense for, again, stealing the car at 19 to 20, and now you're 60, you likely don't need us. Because number one, you can likely do it yourself, because your offense is so piddly on the food chain that you can save money and just do the thing yourself. But if you're, let's say, AC Khan, and your parents are from Tehran, but you were raised in North Vancouver, and you were in the USA, and then you got a conviction for international money laundering in Los Angeles in the, let's say, the late 80s, 90s, and you did some time, some federal time in the USA, and then the US said, okay, there's the door, don't come back. AC Khan is likely going to look at this differently in the sense of AC Khan is now a successful accountant. He has two offices going on three. He wishes to expand in the USA and eventually live there, say Los Angeles again. AC Khan is the kind of guy we're going to kind of like market towards, people such as him. Because AC Khan, he wants to go there to make a better life for himself, his family, yada, yada. But the guy at the warehouse in Winnipeg, he just wants to go to Disneyland or just go there to shop. So who are we going to market to? The Winnipeg guy who probably won't pay more than $5.99 for a waiver, whereas AC Khan knows that his case is a lot of work and he's okay with $6,500. Well, it's a no-brainer. We're going to market to AC Khan because AC Khan has about, I'm going to say, 50 to 100 people who need the service, who have a similar background as himself, and then those people don't mind paying the fees. They have the money in their pocket, literally, or in counts, whatever, where they say, you know what, we don't care what it costs, just get us cleared. So fair enough. You know, I'll go with that. So this is one of the things I wanted to emphasize on that online chat when certain people over there were saying, you charge so much. Yeah, we do charge so much, but there's a reason why we charge so much. And one of the other reasons is because of the fact that we have a 98% to 99% success rate, all our cases. Now think about that for a second. And sip of Pinot Grigio. So 98% to 99%. So the chap in Winnipeg, he won't really care as much because he says, oh, whatever. AC Khan needs this so he can build a life for himself, his kids, and, you know, turn the business over to their kids, yada, yada. So I said, come on in, Mr. Khan, have a seat. What would you like to drink, you take your shoes off, just relax, you're at home. And you damn right I'm going to cater to AC Khan, because AC Khan, like I said, has other people who need the service, and it's word of mouth. And if those people are willing to come by word of mouth, which they normally do, you can see why I catered to AC Khan and why we will not lower our prices for Mr. William. I think I said William or Willie in Winnipeg, who wants to, you know, go overseas. Sorry, wants to go to a Disneyland, you know, yada yada, which is fine, you know, I get that. So let me tell you what you get for the price that you pay us. You know what? I'm going to use AC Khan as an example, since the other bird I was supposed to use, she's not answering the phone now. I guess she's sleepy or whatever. I don't know. And my Surrey manager, I don't know what he's doing. But anyway, so AC Khan came in, and AC Khan said, okay, you did time and you did federal time in the U.S. That's fine. Okay, you had money laundering. Okay. You also have been charged with trafficking, but that was dismissed. I said, okay, that's fine. I understand it's dismissed. You didn't do it since you were not convicted of it. That's fine. So basically, you were just accused of washing money. Fair enough. Okay. Well, Mr. Khan, first thing we got to do is get the data from the systems and see exactly what the government has on you. And that's a certain process we have to go through, you know, regarding agencies and digging through files, yada, yada. That stuff takes time. That stuff, you know, it's not like a one-day thing. And all throughout the process with AC Khan, he's going to sit back and look, and he sees exactly what we're doing. And when AC Khan is sitting in front of me, it's okay, you know what? We need this. This is why we need it. Here's the statute. So AC Khan sees that. He says, okay, this is where my money's going. Okay, fair enough. I said, okay, now, Mr. Khan, by the way, for every waiver case, whether someone stole a car at 19 or someone was an international money launderer, you must show rehabilitation. Obviously, the guy who stole the car is less rehabilitation than Mr. Khan. So we developed a rehabilitation program for Mr. Khan. You know, I want to say free of charge, but it's included with the price. In his case, the digital fingerprinting we cover. If he needs to talk to a counselor, I got a counselor on staff. Actually, I have two, but I have a counselor on staff, and then he can talk to that person. She can write up an eval addressing the issue, because some waiver cases, they require some kind of rehabilitative counseling. And I'm not even going to say a lot. I'm going to say the vast majority of waiver competitors don't understand that. They don't know how to approach it. They don't know how to properly document it, which is fine with me. So this allows us to, you know, to have a monopoly, sort of, in that sense. So then Mr. Khan says, okay. He says, Ken, what's next? Okay, now we need to do your letter of reference, which is fine. And we would say to Mr. Khan, okay, we need the names of such and such people, so many people. How do you know them? How long? And what's the great things they would say about you? And AC Khan does that, gives us the appropriate number of letters we ask for, which, by the way, is more than three. And then, okay, my other guy prepares those. I said, are you happy with these? Ask your people, are they fine with these? And they say, yep, they're fine. Okay, well, you know, well, the guy's a typist, so they're fine with that. And then there's other rehabilitation that has to go along with that case, which we did on his case. I won't bore people with it here. But more so, you know, I don't want to discount waiver companies to try to take anything away and try to market it, because they have a bad habit, not to bash them, but they have a bad habit of trying to learn what we do and then present it to people for cheaper. And that's not happening with me. So anyway, so long story short, the rehabilitation package is prepared. Letters are done. Other certain things that go along with this case to show rehabilitation are done. And I'm purposely being vague here. And then the packet is sent to CBP. We don't believe in that stupid e-safe, because either way, you're still going to the border. You're still going to deal with a border, whether you go there for fingerprinting, whether you go there to file. So to me, it makes no sense for e-safe. And for that bullshit where they say, oh, e-safe is faster, no. There's a guy that went to a competitor. He came to us last week, and he saw Mr. Singh at the other Vancouver location, because Jimmy works at my Vancouver location. This other Vancouver location, he's an associate. And Mr. Singh said he did e-safe back in, see, this is October, back in, I think he said February, March. The case is still pending. Now, my math may not be the greatest, but March to October is what? March, April, let me count out loud. March, April, so 7-8 months. And yet he used eSafe is still pending, so that's a bunch of bullshit when they say, oh, eSafe is faster. No, it really depends upon the actual case in the particulars. So, but some people push it, whatever, you know, that's their prerogative. And I'm fine with that. We have another individual, and he's a nice gentleman, and he's from Alberta, and he may even be listening. He has a case in the USA that we have to clear. I don't want to really go into too many details, but we told him, I think we told him $2,000, and he wasn't. He didn't jump for joy over the price. He said someone told him 8.25, but so 8.75. And I said, well, we cannot really do that for 8.75. I said, your case involves a lot of research, a lot of work. But what I told the gentleman, he may or may not remember, is I said, you know what? I know it's COVID, and I know times are tight. I'm a brown guy. So obviously I want to save a dollar where I can. So I said, you know what? Give me a shout. We'll work this out. We'll make this very reasonable. And I'm more than willing to give him a discount because the thing is, like I said, it's COVID and not too many people are walking around with $5 to $10K in their pocket other than some of the Surrey boys. That's another story. So he gives me a shout back. We'll work something out, make it very reasonable for him. It could even be payments because the thing is, I don't so much care about the money per se. I just mostly care that you get cleared. Obviously, it makes you happy. And number two, then I can toot my horn. Or a horn for me and my staff members, that we are still the best in the business. So the gentleman hears this, or he's listening, he can give us a shout. He can come over from Alberta and come probably come to the Surrey office. Maybe come to the Vancouver office, I guess, and see Jimmy. He's probably better seeing Rich, I think, in his case. Because what I do is, in terms of the guys, I assign the people based upon the personality of the client. Certain ones I see. But other ones, I kind of, you know, match him off to someone who has a similar personality. Like for Jimmy, he deals with people who are from like Hong Kong, Beijing, Hanoi, yada yada. So they're more comfortable with him, which I'm fine with that. You know, in the end. And Rich sees the guys a lot of from like Chandigarh, from Tehran, Bangladesh, Morocco. So he's kind of that. Mike sees the guys from, from Chilliwack or Langley, who, you know, they grew up on the farm, live on the farm, and they have a belt buckle with their name, by the name of Buck on the front, or Bo. So Mike's good for those kind of guys. So the bottom line is I want clients to be comfortable with whom they're seeing. I want them to see exactly what they're paying for and why they're paying for and why it's this cost. And you got happy people that are successful, and then, you know, bottom line is, when the day's over, everyone is good to go. Now, also for that price, we do everything. Now, I'm not trying to convince anyone here in this chat room to hire us because the vast majority will not pay these fees, and I'm fine with that. So if they can get some free info from the stuff we post, I'm happy with that as well. So I'm going to give a good example. We got a guy. Let's say we get a guy who comes from Chandigarh. And then he goes to the USA. He files a refugee claim. So using a fake name, whatever. He gets denied. He appeals. Then he finds a woman in Surrey and marries her. Gets his PR and moves to Surrey. That's Surrey, BC, by the way. So then 10 years later, he tries to cross the border. And then he's... CBP says to him, they says, sir, what happened back in 2010. What happened to you, sir, in 1990? He says, I don't know. Well, you need to go back. You need to sort it out. So he comes in, and I say, look, we can do this, but it's going to be, we got to do some research. We got to do an analysis here, and yada, yada. And we'll show him on paper everything we're doing. He said, oh, Mr. Ken, that's lots of money. I said, well, look, this kind of case, this is easily a $3,500 case. He said, well, Mr. Ken, you know, that's a lot of money. I said, well, look, this is what we need. Why? He says, I understand. He understands. So he says, Mr. Ken, I will make you a deal. If you give me a discount, I will bring you 20, 30 people. The administrator just gets livid when she hears that. And so does the Burnaby manager, Mike. They can't stand it when people barter. I say, you know what, brother? You keep your word. We shake on it. You take care of me. I will take care of you. So... we shake hands. He pays, let's say, $2,300. Let's just say. He pays his $2,300. He pays. He gets his waiver, all the research. A lot of the costs I will eat personally out of my pocket, which the administrator gets pissed about that, and so does the Burnaby manager. And he's so happy, he goes to the people and says, you need to go see Mr. Ken. See Mr. Ken. And he passes the cards around. So just that act of kindness, where I say, you know what, let me give you a break. He sent about 40 people, 40 people. So we don't really have to advertise as much, et cetera. So those people where we sought out proper, they go tell their friends, associates, everyone, and they come down. Some ask for a discount, some don't. So I don't mind bartering for some people because the fact that they're going to send their friends, which is fine, and also the fact that, again, I want to maintain this 98 to 99% success rate. Ideally, I want 100, which I'm working on that. So, you know, I'm okay with that. However, Willie, the warehouse worker in Winterpeg, he's likely not going to barter. He's going to say, oh, that's too high. I can't afford that. I said, well, that's fine. But, you know, if Willie could offer something in exchange that's mutually beneficial, then I don't mind cutting Willie a price or a lower price. But Willie said, no, I don't really have anything to offer. I said, well, you don't have anything to offer. This is the standard price. So the price is structured the way it works is, for a guy like Willie, his waiver fee would be $950, and that includes doing the rehabilitation, the letters of reference, getting the court files, yada, yada, all that stuff. I think $950 for a less complex case is really not that bad of a price, because I just can't see myself in good faith charging someone like Willie $2,500 because he just stole a Ford Pinto when he was 19. I just can't do that. It's just not right. I won't do that. But now, if Willie was moving bricks from Surrey and he had 10 truckloads of it, you can best believe Willie's going to pay $6,000 to $8,000 for that case. I said, well, Willie, you know, it's not like you stole a Pinto. You were moving bricks of white powder. So it's a lot of rehab that we have to do for you. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, the guys get it. You know, the guys understand. The guys, you know, they pay. So this is mostly directed towards the chat room, where they were saying our prices are high. So they're not really high based upon the workload. So Willie's fee would be $950. But again, if Willie came in and Willie said, yeah, I was moving trucks with four or five trucks, and they're stuffed full with white bricks of flour, I said, look, Willie, you're going to have to – this is a lot more work. So, you know what? It is what it is. And then Willie either pays or he does not. He does, he does, he doesn't, he doesn't. But now in the online chat room I'm speaking of, I think a lot of those people there, they probably have smaller stuff. And, you know, again, if it's smaller stuff, the cheapest fee we have is $950. But if they say, well, Batman's pardons and waivers is charging $599 or $850, I say, well, why are you talking to me? Go use Batman. Because Willie knows in the back of his mind that Batman is full of shit. He knows Batman's going to rip him off. So sometimes what they do, they come to us and say, well, this person charges this, charging that. So you know what? Well, depending upon who you are, I say, You have a small fish case. So you get the lower, you know, the lower price. I had one guy, and this is a true story. It still astounds me to this day. This guy stole a rowboat back, I think it was 95. He stole a rowboat in 95. You know, big deal, rowboat. He came in, he kept talking about how bad his crime was, how bad his offense was, yada, yada. I'm thinking, oh, man, will you just please stop? Can you just please? I'm thinking, where can I find the mute button? And I said, okay, sir, yes. Yes, it's very bad. Yes, you stole a robot. Yes, it's bad, yes. And the reason why I said it is because right before he came in there, another gentleman came in there who was accused and convicted of doing some home invasions with Glocks and the ski mask and yada, yada, and bringing petrol in the door and doing, how can I say it? This part, he was accused of dousing individuals with petrol, threatening to turn them into a barbecue unless they told him where the money was. That part that didn't really, not really in the case, because that part he did get convicted per se, but he got convicted of kicking in the door, yada, yada, which is fine. And he just said, oh, I got a couple of charges. I said, yeah, no problem. I'm looking at page 2, okay, page 3, page 4, okay, you know, whatever, that's fine. whatever, told him the price he paid is much higher than what Willie paid. He was fine with it. So I'm sorry, he was much higher than what the robot guy paid. So he was fine with it. The robot guy said, my crime was so bad. So, okay, sir, if you say it's bad, it's bad. And finally, every time he came in, he would say that, I finally had to say, I said, look, sir, I get people here who kicked in doors and rushed in with automatic weapons. I get guys who wore ski masks. I get guys who decide to practice their Mike Tyson techniques on RCMP officers. And some of those guys don't even need waivers. There's a story behind that. But they don't even need waivers or to get cleared. You just stole a rowboat, sir, compared to them. And then I saw him, he looked depressed and yada, yada. I didn't mean to hurt his feelings, but it's a rowboat. The two guys, the main two guys in the security force that we use, they still like to play Mike Tyson with RCMP officers, but they don't get convicted. And that's a topic for another story. So bottom line is, if you have a small fish case, you stole a car when you're 19 and now you're 60, something like 950. If you stole, I won't even say socks. I'm going to say if you stole a boombox back in the day and you listened to Run DMC, walking down the streets of Surrey and RCMP stopped you and caught you, yada, yada. Or if you stole some other items, a golf cart or whatever. Okay, yeah, fine. It's a smaller fish case, but you're still inadmissible. You look at 950. But if you have something a bit more serious, like Mr. A.C. Khan, or you are a former heavy trafficker, but now you're rehabilitated, you're married, you have kids, and you own the construction company, then, the second person, the latter, he's going to pay a lot more than the guy who stole a golf cart. It's just basic common sense. So hopefully this clears up the question in the room that that I'm in terms of this. So in terms of the fees. And let's see what else to say. This conversation also sparked by the fact that there was an individual who he spoke to us on Messenger. Let me bring this up. What day was this? Okay. Thursday. Now, he had an offense for smuggling marijuana to USA. He did time there. He got deported. All the good stuff. He did time in the federal detention center. And he's asking me for price. He said he's a youngster then. Okay, fine, whatever. I said, look, man, this is probably, from what you're telling me. And he says, he also has other, charges. God knows what that could be. So this is probably going to be a $2,500 case from what you're telling me. And he said, what, all that? I said, well, yeah, he was smuggling illegal drugs into the USA. It's not rocket science. You were a smuggler. You did time in a U.S. federal prison. He said, well, I found a guy who's going to do it for, how much did he say here? Let me open this. He's at $875. I got quoted from some company, like $875. He says, not to insult your company, not insult you or this company, but I think this is ridiculous pricing here. Well, that's fine. You can think it's ridiculous pricing, sir. But the minute I told him the price, and he balked at it and didn't like the price, that's when he started getting a bit rude. And I say, I almost said to this guy, but I bit my tongue. I almost said to him, I said, sir, if you cannot afford the price, I'm fine with that. Just say you cannot afford it, and then we can part ways here. But I bit my tongue, and I did not say that. Because that's the bottom line. He could not afford it. He's talking about COVID. But we're not hard up for money. We take payments for things. We're very reasonable people. So. And the fact that also another thing, I'm going to shut down here in a moment here because it's Sunday and it's kind of a bit of a write-off this weekend for some reason. But another thing is the fact that we have a lot of tools that we have access to that we use to get people clear. I've got one tool here I'm looking at, and it's the criteria that CBP uses to decide whether they're going to approve your waiver or not. Now, the discount waiver companies would love to have that access to this, but I have taken steps to ensure that they cannot obtain this material because I do a lot of stuff like the old school way where I put stuff on like pads, like actual plastic notebooks, paper and plastic sleeves, yada, yada. A lot of stuff I don't even put online because computers can be hacked or whatever. But when's the last time, if you had a notebook on your desk, when's the last time someone hacked an actual notebook sitting on your desk, like a paper notebook. Can't happen. Or if you had like a pad and you wrote some figures down on that pad, when's the last time that pad got hacked? It's not happening. So a lot of that kind of stuff I have actually on paper. It's not even online. So if some gentleman decides to try to hack us and get through, which he likely won't, then, oh, that's the material. So, no, sorry, sir. The stuff right here, it's in the binder, or binders, so to speak, locked away. So do all the hacking you want. You will never get this. Unless you're Superman and you have X-ray vision, where you can see through steel in this file cabinet. But anyway, I don't know if that this makes any sense or whatever. But this is why we charge the prices we do, because we do a lot of things that the lower cost, waiver, like Batman's pardons and waivers, that they cannot do. They can't do it. Because what happens with them, you go to them, they'll charge you, I don't know, $5.99, $6.99, and you get denied. Say, oh, sorry about that. And you say, what the hell? You come to me, and I say, well, look, ordinarily this would have been a $1,500 case, but you got denial. They put a lot of stuff in your packet that should not have been there. Instead of $1,500, this is going to cost you $28 now, because I have to undo everything they've done there. And the guys understand it, right? Because I show them on paper why we have to do it. I show them the material I'm just mentioning, and they get it. They understand, but they cry. I said, look, let me see what I can do for you here. I said, but this is still a lot of work, sir. So, and the good news is for the people that come to us, you really do little to nothing. I mean, obviously you pay and you show, give us proof of income. We do everything else. You do little to nothing other than give us the info, pay us, take our packet to a border that we tell you to use, and even see the guards that we tell you to that know us and like me. And then there's a high degree of probability you're going to get approved. So that's the reason behind our pricing. So I know you nice people on the chat room who see me typing and you wonder, oh, why is Ken charging this? Or who is this Ken Scott? No, Ken Scott, the senior U.S. immigration law intelligence analyst at www.usentrywaiverservices.com. Well, now you know. And it's one thing I forgot to do. Let me bring it up here. I was supposed to get the call-in number if people wanted to call in. And that number is 516-418-5410 if you want to call in. Let me say again, 516-418-5410 if you want to call in. I still have another half hour in this episode. You know what? What I might try to do, I'm going to try to ring my Surrey manager anyway. Let me see if I can get him. I gotta figure out how to do this. Let's see if he answers. I don't think he's going to answer. He's not going to answer. Let me try something else. Yeah, he's not answering. That's too bad. Wait a minute. Let's try this. Okay. Oh. No, anyway. It is what it is, so. So anyone who wants to call in, 516-418-5410 if you wish to call in and chat. Pretty much went over everything about the cost, but what we do and why we do, and you know why these are the fees that we charge. So, I mean, there's really not a whole lot else I can really say, you know, regarding that. But what I will say is you basically, you do get what you pay for. So if you want to pay cheap, there's a good chance you'll get cheap. And then there's also the possibility that if you pay for, if you got a small fish case like Willie the Warehouse Worker in Winterpeg, you got a cheap case like that, and then you go to Batman's pardons and waivers, and you pay, what, $550, you just might get cleared and save some money. That's fine. But if you got sexual assault of a minor and you pay Batman $550, you are going to get denied. I can guarantee, pretty much guarantee 99%, you will get denied. So it is what it is. So bottom line, again, like I said in the beginning of the episode, you got to decide what's important for you. Is it important? Is this document important enough for you to pay the proper rate to get cleared? If you're a big fish case or if you're a small fish case, you can do it yourself or whatever. Or if you use Batman's pardons and waivers. But if you use Batman's pardons and waivers and you get denied, there's only one person you can blame. And the person you can blame is looking back at you in the mirror.
Here I stand, done bent, got to represent, stop bent, throat, L.A., every day, nigga, monthly, yearly, 34 to be exact, nigga, fear me, atomic dog, I'm in your zone, your area, bull massive, pit bull terrier, I'm coming through like the woo dump in chambers, third life, get it right, nigga, danger, 7 shots to my body, ain't no killing me, lock and load, double back, I had you feeling me, 40 Glock up on your block. Headshot, chest plate getting blown when the nine knocks, and in the distance ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me, said they heard of me, they think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up and Chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the fat Mac 90. From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a stand-up, stomp down soldier. Much older now from back then, when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G, nigga, married to the thug shit. Here the COE, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
What up? You join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry USA Show. A show to not only educate you about U.S. entry waivers, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna get y'all a little something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man.
Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
As I ride, smoking that pot, oh, still stay lit, my eyes are so, they clinging like fire, I keep them blazing, but I know I get so higher, see, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on creep, fuck peace, if you got beef, let's handle it in the street, ask free, pancakes, my G's gon' bounce up, spit by honey, no chronic, it's